Bill Guerin, 18 years in the National Hockey League, won two Stanley Cups as a player, a couple more in the front office with Pittsburgh, was on that 2009 team that won the Cup. We air that game following our show tonight and is now the general manager for the Minnesota Wild. And Bill, I hope you're well. I hope your family's well. And before we get to some specifics about possibly the season resuming and some stuff from that 2009 season, I was curious. I want to ask you, how's it been for you being at home, trying to balance life with the family in quarantine while also still conducting business and trying to figure out stuff for the Wild and obviously for the remainder of the season if we do get one?
Well, it's been different, that's for sure. My kids are all older now. I had one in grad school, one in college, two in high school. So they've all kind of been finishing their studies online. I've been trying to work from home as best I can. And we all just try to, give each other our space, let each other know our schedule so we're not, walking in the background of a Zoom meeting or a WebEx call or something like that in our PJs or anything. But, hey, you know what? This is what the world is right now. You got to roll with it a little bit and do the best you can.
One of the interesting things for you guys in Minnesota has been while everything's been on pause, I wanted to ask you about Kirill Kaprizov, because that's obviously a player that all NHL teams, I'm sure, have been very interested in, and you guys have been trying to lock things down with him. Where do things stand there with Kaprizov, and how has the pandemic sort of impacted your ability to try and hammer things down with him?
Well, I mean, the second part of the question, it just, the pandemic's just thrown everything off, I think if this was a normal year and normal timing, we could have had Kirill probably signed by now, but, it's just thrown, like I said, it's just made it different. It's thrown a wrench into things. It's kind of thrown the timing off. There are other things to consider for him and for us, and in the big picture, there's really no rush to get him signed immediately. I mean, we'd like to, but, we also understand that he's got to look at things from his point of view too. And we support that. And, hopefully sooner than later, we'll have him signed. But, like I said, things like this, we take it day by day.
Before we get to talking, Bill, about the 09 Pens team that won the Cup, how has the process been with you communicating with Wild players? You mentioned, Zoom calls and WebEx calls and whatnot, as well as the league as we get hopefully closer to a return to hockey.
Yeah, I think, early on, we were communicating a lot more. I think... now that things have kind of heated up a bit more, the Players Association's done, they always do a good job too with the guys and keeping them informed. So they're getting their own information now. We're getting ours, bit by bit from the league. And, it's been a good process. It's one of those things that if there's something that's really going to impact them, I'll send out a group text and let them know and, make sure that they're, just want to keep tabs on them too a little bit, make sure guys are ready to go and in shape and prepared for something a little bit different.
Bill Guerin's with us, the Minnesota Wild general manager and a Stanley Cup winner two times in his career, including 2009 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I wanted to ask you, you get moved in 2009 from the Islanders to Pittsburgh. What was the process leading up to the deadline time for you? Were you really actively looking to join a contender at that stage of your career? And was Pittsburgh one of the teams that you really had an eye on as a younger team, as a veteran, to go in there and make an impact?
You know what? I was looking to move on. With the Islanders, we were in a bit of a rebuilding stage, and getting very late in my career, I just felt like I just wanted to take one more crack at it. Probably about 5 days before the trade deadline, I was actually agreed to a trade because I had a no move clause. I agreed to a trade to another team. And that other team couldn't create the cap space when they said they couldn't. And after 5 days, we landed on trade deadline day and the deal had fallen through. They just couldn't do it. So that kind of opened things up. And, you know, a couple other teams came up, and probably about 15 minutes before the deadline, Garth Snow called me up and he said, well, how about Pittsburgh? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I hung up the phone and I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, I think I might be able to play with this Crosby or this Malkin kid. Like, and these guys are really good. So this could work out well. And to be honest with you, that was the understatement, that it worked out well. It was just a perfect fit. And, you know, I just had the time of my life in the year and a half that I played in Pittsburgh.
That year you joined Pittsburgh, Bill, you know, obviously it was a big one. Even outside of the Cup, you were brought in at the deadline, like we're talking about, and Dan Bylsma had already been, when you joined, brought in as the coach from the minors before your arrival. And when you joined the team, what was Dan's approach to coaching like, and how do you think that was different maybe from other coaches you had played for during your career?
Well, it was really unusual for me because Dan and I are the same age. And Dan and I played, you know, in college at the same time. We went to a couple, like, summer camps, when we were younger, like 18, 19 years old. And then we played against each other for a number of years. So it was different that way. But Dan's, you know, Dan was a different voice from Mike Therrien. You know, Mike's got one style. Dan was a complete opposite. And that's kind of what the team needed. And, you know, I wasn't there with Michael, but Dan just came in, you know, like, you know, fresh, a lot of energy, you know, excited to be on the ice every day, just a different voice. He talked to the players differently. And you know, him with, you know, Tommy Fitz and Mike Yeo, they were just an awesome, awesome coaching staff. They did an amazing job with that group.
I was wondering, so you're in the latter stages of your career. You know, you had scored almost 400 goals at the time of the trade, had won a Stanley Cup, been around the block and back again. And, you know, that's a young team that had been to the Cup final the year before and obviously had lots of expectations, like you said, with Crosby and Fleury and Malkin and Letang and Staal. So when you come into that room for the first time and early on, were you looking to settle in, or did you want to make an impact as a veteran presence that those younger players could look to when things got tight, especially closer to the playoffs?
You know what? I wanted to make an impact, but I just wanted to be myself, you know, and if you get traded like I did and you played on a bunch of teams like I did, it gets easier and you know what to do. And, you know, I had a trade deadline experience in San Jose a couple of years before that, and it didn't go as well. So I learned from that. But just knowing what to do and how to act and knowing exactly what my role was something that I learned. And I took a lot of pride in it. And, you know, this was a young group that had been to the finals the year before, and I just wanted to do my part. And I knew going through that year that at some point in time my experience was going to be relied upon, and it was.
Looking back at the Stanley Cup Finals themselves then, Bill, what was the feeling like inside the locker room after the Red Wings had gone up 2-0 to start the series?
Well, it wasn't great. And that's kind of where like I told myself that this is why I'm here. And it's for times like this to, you know, try to keep everybody confident, try to keep everybody calm, and let's just, we have to play the games. I mean, they're up two, and it's going to be a tough hole to dig ourselves out of, but you know, we can do it. And, you know, we might be trying to fool ourselves, but that's what you have to do. And, you know, we were fortunate enough, too. Like, we had guys like Craig Adams. Craig had won a cup before. Chris Kunitz had won a cup before. We had other veteran guys, too, that had been around. Had Hal Gill and Rob Scuderi. Hey, you know, they didn't get their feathers ruffled either, you know. And this was just kind of, hey, look, let's just get this done. So it was a real group effort. And, you know, like I said, I was trying to do my part as the old man in the locker room and just kind of keep a level head.
Was there a sense of a real animosity, a real rivalry between Pittsburgh and Detroit second straight year meeting in the final?
Yeah, you could tell with the guys who were there the year before that they really wanted this. Like they wanted to play Detroit. They wanted their crack at them. And you know, I think it's a little different when you were there the year before and when you weren't there the year before. But we could all, you know, feel it, what those guys went through and how badly they wanted to, kind of get back at them and win it. I'll tell you what, it was a heck of a series. I mean, that team was so good. They just wouldn't go away. And the game seven we dodged a few bullets in that. It was just a great series. It really was.
Yeah, you mentioned Sidney Crosby earlier, Bill, and obviously one of the best players in the history of the sport. What was that like playing with him, given that you yourself had seen a number of other top players over the course of your career?
Well, Sid was the best that I ever played with, and he was just the things he can do and the way he thinks the game and can just execute. He's the full package, you know. And a lot of people say that, you know, I was good for him, and maybe I was, but he was real good for me. And you know what, I was at that stage of my career where, you know, I needed to be pushed. And you know what, for an older guy, you know, he pushed me in practice. He expected a lot out of me. He demanded things from me, and that was good. And like I said, you know, between him and Chris Kunitz, you know, it was a really good line, a lot of fun to play on, and to have the experience of playing with Sid and Gino, you know, all those young guys, you know, Flower and Chris Letang, and look at the careers these guys are having, and they're just awesome players and good guys and good friends. Like, they're great.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, you know, you talk about such a great series, goes seven games, you guys bounce back, win game six at home, and then it goes obviously to Detroit for game seven. And I feel like a lot of people maybe forget, and I certainly didn't really remember it until I rewatched that game recently as we got set for this, that Sid got hurt in the early stages of the second period, kind of gets crunched into the boards, and you can see he's got a bit of a knee issue. I think he played one shift after that, and that was pretty much it. So what do you remember about him coming to the bench? Did he say anything right in the moment? The second intermission, was there communication? Just sort of what do you remember about how you guys were able to rally losing your best player in the middle of game seven?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, he got hit over by the penalty box by Johan Franzen, and he got a Charlie horse. And, you know, I remember him just being in, you know, severe pain. And, you know, I had a severe Charlie horse earlier in my career, and I knew what it was like, and I'm like, oh, God, this is not good. I think everybody was for a minute there. But then we're like, hey, look, we got a cup to win here. We've got a game to play. Like, we cannot let this like slow us down. Just pick up the slack, you know? And, you know, that was extra ice for our center iceman. That was extra responsibility for the wingers to help out and, you know, to not turn pucks over and to make things easier on them. And, I don't know if we were successful at that, because I think we got outshot 19-2, but yeah, losing him was big, but it was kind of like, hey, look, you know what? We'll worry about that, or we'll talk about that after. We've got to try to get this done.
It's one of the great cup finals for sure of the last decade, and we've got it tonight at 7 o'clock, so we look forward to that. Bill, really appreciate you taking a trip down memory lane with us and also chatting about the Wild. Again, best to you and your family. Obviously, we hope to see hockey back soon, even if it's a 24-team playoff format. We're all adjusting here. I know you are as well, and again, we really appreciate the time today.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully we'll be back on the ice soon.